Let us pray. Our Lord God in heaven, we thank and praise you that we can come into your presence this afternoon as your people. Lord, you are enthroned in high, your heavenly temple you have made in the heavens. And Father, this afternoon we come into your very presence through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we know that we only have access to you through the blood of your Son poured out for us on the cross. We have put our hope in him and in his perfect sacrifice. And we thank you, Father, for providing that sacrifice for us. For we know we could not pay for our sins on our own, but you looked upon us in our helpless condition, granting what is needed to restore fellowship with you. And we thank you that your throne is a throne of grace for us. Lord, we praise you for your marvelous work of salvation, and we thank you that we can be united together by one Spirit, by one Savior, one confession of faith. And we praise you as our great God. We thank you, Father, for your church. Thank you for the communion of saints, for the fellowship we can enjoy. Lord, we ask that we might be completely united together, serving you with one heart, with one voice, and serving each other as well. Father, as we gather here in worship again this afternoon, we ask again the blessing on the reading and the preaching of your word. May your word be proclaimed faithfully. May we be instructed by that word. May we understand what your word is teaching us. Father, may we be guided by your word in all things. Father, we seek your blessing because we know that apart from your Spirit, we will not understand the things you teach us. And so we ask for understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit and also continued faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and that we might grow in obedience to you. Father, will you keep us from distraction this afternoon? Will you work in us by your Holy Spirit? Will you also help those who are going through difficult trials at this time too? Lord, may we learn to cast all of our burdens upon you. And we thank you that as our faithful Father, we can do that and that you care for us. And may we have our eyes fixed on your promises in Jesus Christ. Lord, encourage us, strengthen us. Will you keep us in your care? Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Our scripture reading this afternoon is taken from the prophet Daniel. We will read Daniel 9, beginning at verse 1 to the first part of verse 23. So Daniel 9, that begins on page 1032 of your Pew Bible. So Daniel 9, beginning at verse 1 to the beginning of verse 23. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplished 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face as it is this day. To the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord, our God, belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his ways, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven, such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name as it is this day, we have sinned. We have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening sacrifice. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's now turn to the Heidelberg Catechism in the Trinity Psalter Hymnal, Lord's Day 45. You can find Lord's Day 45 starting on page 893 of the Trinity Psalter Hymnal. Lord's Day 45, why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank Him for them. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed Himself to us in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask of Him. Second, we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we may humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. And third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord, as He has promised us in His Word. What has God commanded us to ask of Him? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord Himself taught us. What is this prayer? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thus far, our reading from the Catechism. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever reflected on the beauty of prayer? Prayer itself, it seems so simple, and it is so simple, and we do it so often. And because of that, sometimes I think the immensity and the beauty of what we are doing can escape us. But as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have access to God's throne. We get to talk to God at any time. We can come before Him, bring our petitions, praise Him, thank Him, ask Him for things. We get to speak to the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, and He actually listens to us. He really does listen to us. Now, that's all the more astounding when you consider who God is and who we are. How could it be that the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth created the world, everyone in it, created the sun, the moon, all those billions and billions of stars? That God who is exalted, who is infinite, would stoop down and He would incline His ear to listen to us, small creatures, weak creatures, tiny human beings. Now imagine for a moment you had access to Prime Minister Trudeau's office every day. You could go into his office first thing in the morning and say, "Mr. Trudeau, I'd like you to do this and this for me." And he actually listened to you and actually took your request into consideration as he governed the country. Every day he could do that. We have something far greater than that, a far greater privilege when we pray to our God. Much greater. And it's amazing when you think about it, the Lord God really does use our prayers in that unfolding of His plan, in the building up of His kingdom, to impact world events. He uses them for the glory of His name. And God is under no compulsion to do this, none whatsoever. But He does it because it pleases Him, because He is good, and because of what His Son has done for us in making us children of God. Of course, prayer is also more than simply making requests to God. It's also about fellowship. We've been adopted by God, And now we have an intimate, personal relationship with our Creator. And that fellowship is enjoyed. It's enjoyed through prayer. And God loves to have fellowship with His people. So we have a beautiful privilege in prayer, beloved. Never take it for granted. And because prayer is such a beautiful privilege, we should study what the Bible has to say about it so that we don't abuse this privilege. That we might use it the way God intended it and truly use it for His glory. So prayer is a privilege and not a right. We don't want to abuse this gift. So as I preach you God's word this afternoon, I'll do so under the following theme. Believers have the beautiful privilege of speaking to God in prayer. We have 3 points. First of all, why we must pray. Second of all, how we must pray. And third, what we must pray for. And that structure also, it fits quite closely with Lord's Day 45 of the Catechism. Now, prayer indeed is a beautiful privilege for believers, yet prayer is also a necessary privilege. That might sound odd, but it's a necessary privilege. Question 116 asks, why is prayer necessary for Christians? The answer, because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness which God requires of us. We understand that a good relationship requires communication. That's true of any human relationship. Think only of marriage. When we want to build up a human relationship like marriage, it takes communication, good communication. And when our relationships are struggling, what do we need to do? Often we need to work on our communication. We might face a similar thing when it comes to our relationship with God. Perhaps you do struggle to communicate to God in prayer. Maybe you have trouble finding the words. Maybe have trouble finding the time or the energy. Yet even if we struggle, let us not give up. Remember, a good relationship is built up by communication. So if we struggle to pray, we might say to ourselves, I realize my prayer life is by no means perfect, but I'm going to work at it because it's worth the effort. It deepens my relationship with my Heavenly Father. So I'm going to put in the effort. And if you find that your prayer life is suffering, why don't you simply ask God for help? It can sound like this, Heavenly Father, help me to pray. Help me to become more faithful in prayer. I'm struggling to find the time or the words or the energy. Ask God to help. See, God commands us to pray to Him. If He commands it, we can also expect His help and His strength to carry out that command. He won't turn you away. Answer 116 goes on to say that prayer is necessary for Christians also because God will give His grace and the Holy Spirit only to those who constantly and with heartfelt longing ask Him for these gifts and thank Him for them. Now, I'll first say those words from the Catechism, they might raise some questions in our minds. What's the Catechism saying here? Is it saying that humans make the first move in salvation? After all, it says, God will give His Holy Spirit, His grace, only to those who ask Him for it. Well, certainly not. The Catechism is not saying that humans make the first move in salvation. The Catechism here is talking about ongoing sanctification in our lives. What's sanctification? It's a process of becoming more holy, more like Christ. So God has already given us faith and salvation in Christ. And from then on, He changes us into the image of Christ. We as believers are active in this process of becoming more holy. And prayer is an important part of that process of becoming more holy and more obedient. And even though by God's sovereign power, the Spirit has already regenerated believers, and believers are already temples of the Holy Spirit, God calls us to pray for the ongoing and increasing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is what Christ himself taught in Luke 11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Yes, we are already God's children through faith in Christ. Yes, believers already have the Holy Spirit. But believers also hunger for an increasing measure of the Holy Spirit. They long to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Seeing that, let us pray for the Holy Spirit, beloved. Pray for his work in your life more and more. Do you ask God to work in you by the Holy Spirit? Do you pray that? I want us to think for a moment of how Scripture describes the person and work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was responsible for the success of the Old Testament judges. The Holy Spirit empowered David to fulfill his ministry, his role as king. The Spirit emboldened the apostles to witness about the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the face of death. The Holy Spirit is true God. Our lives will be vastly improved by having the Holy Spirit, who is true God, work in us more and more. The Spirit is called the Spirit of wisdom and truth, who leads us into all truth. The Holy Spirit gives us understanding of what God has revealed or given us in the gospel. Without the Holy Spirit, we would not understand those things. Galatians 5 declares the marvelous fruit of the Spirit, things like love and joy and peace. I'm sure we would all want more of that in our lives, things like love and joy and peace. Who does not want that more in their life? So let's pray for the ongoing work of the Spirit in our lives. He will cause us to bear that fruit. The Spirit also works in us to obey the law of God more and more. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we put to death those evil desires which always plague us. As you read the Bible, you can see that the Bible says a lot about the Holy Spirit and the blessings that come through his increasing work. And seeing that, let me encourage you. Pray for the work of the Holy Spirit in your lives. Yes, every believer has the Holy Spirit. Let us pray that he continually transforms us. Let us pray that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. Pray that he would mold you into the image of Christ. And the great news is that God promises to answer this prayer. Remember Jesus' words in Luke 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, would give him a snake? Right? If children ask their fathers for something essential to life, their fathers aren't going to turn them away or give them something that harms them instead. And Christ is telling us, if this is how weak and sinful human parents behave, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him for it? This is God's promise. Believe it, beloved. Pray in faith based on God's promise. He will work in you by the Holy Spirit. Ask him. And remember also this. While asking for the Holy Spirit to work in us, let us also be diligent in picking up the sword of the Spirit which is the Word of God. Right? This is the Holy Spirit's book. He inspired it. As you pray for the Holy Spirit, then also be busy studying God's Word. That's what He uses to change our lives. That also brings us to the next point. Now, in Scripture, we find encouraging promises from God that give us confidence before God in prayer. However, this does not mean that we can pray in any way that we would like. God gives us a beautiful privilege of speaking to Him, but He also requires that we pray to Him in a certain manner. In question and answer 117 of the Catechism asks, what belongs to a prayer that pleases God and is heard by Him? The first thing we read in Lord's Day 45, we must from the heart call upon the one true God only who has revealed Himself in His Word for all He has commanded us to pray. You know, humans have an amazing ability. We have the ability to talk to someone with our mouths, but all the while our minds are focused on something else. Maybe you've experienced that before. Maybe you were watching something on your computer, on your TV screen. Someone was talking to you. You were talking to them back, but all the while you're just focused on what's in front of you. Words are coming out of your mouth. It's not really coming from your heart. Well, we can do the same thing in prayer as well. All right, your lips are moving, words are coming out, but meanwhile, your heart is just not on what you are praying. So we all have that ability. But let's remember who we're speaking to, the Almighty God of heaven and earth. And as we pray to Him, yeah, let's make sure our attention is fixated on Him. The second thing is this, we must call upon the one true God only who has revealed Himself in His Word. We need to make sure our prayers are addressed to the God of the Bible. And if our understanding of God is not shaped by God's Word, then we will end up praying to God of our own imagination. Now, earlier we read from Daniel's prayer in Daniel 9. And as we go through this second point, we'll also see how Daniel's prayer, it matches question and answer 117 very closely in how we are to pray to God. For example, notice in Daniel's prayer how he addressed God. These are some of the ways he describes God. The great and awesome God. The one who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and obey His commands. Lord, You are righteous. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. The Lord is righteous in everything He does. And then he says, O Lord our God, who brought Your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand. So you see what Daniel has done here. He has a clear picture of who his God is. And that picture of God has been shaped by God's Word. As you read Daniel's prayer there, you can see Daniel is a man of God's Word. He knows his God from his Bible, which for Daniel was the Old Testament Scriptures up to that point. And Daniel then makes sure, I know God's God from His Word, and now I'm going to pray to this same God, addressing this God as He describes Himself in the Bible. We can learn something from that. One thing that shows us is that prayer and scripture reading, they go together. They go together. You know, as we read God's Word, our understanding of God is shaped by His Word. And then we address God, the God of the Bible, in that way. And this will ensure we're calling upon the one true God only. You see, there's in our relationship with God, there's not just communication from our side to God in prayer, but there's also communication from God to us, and that comes through the Bible, through His Word. And before you pray, I encourage you to look at what you have read in God's Word. study God's word, a passage you have read, and then shape your prayer based on what you have read in the Bible. Pray in a way that reflects what you have just read. If you read about a promise in God's word, pray on the basis of that promise. If the passage you have read praises God in a certain way, then praise God in a similar way in your prayer. If a passage you have read gives a command from God, then pray that you would be given the strength to follow that command. That is how our prayers can be shaped by God's word. And one benefit of doing this is that when we pray according to God's word, then we know we are praying according to God's will. And he will hear that. We can be sure we're praying according to God's will then. Notice how this happened in Daniel's own prayer in Daniel 9. Daniel first discerned from the prophet Jeremiah that the exile would last 70 years. And after he saw this, Daniel then shaped his prayer based on what he read from Jeremiah. He prayed that God would have mercy on the exiles. And so when Daniel shaped his prayer by God's word, he would know, my prayer will be according to God's will, and God will be pleased by that. We have that same promise today. 1 John 5, verse 14 tells us, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Pray according to Scripture, beloved. That will give you confidence and boldness before God. And you will know God will hear you through Jesus Christ. And we also confess that in order to pray rightly, we must also know our need and our misery so that we may humble ourselves before God. Now that's important for us to keep in mind in an age of casual Christianity. Notice again Daniel's prayer in Daniel 9. Right, as you read that passage, you can see Daniel's tone. You can see his attitude before God. You can see his humility. It's soaked in repentance. He offers a cry for mercy and forgiveness to God because of his own sin as well. Now, of course, his prayer in this passage is specifically a prayer of repentance for the exiled people. So not every one of his prayers would be shaped like this. However, he still knew his need, his misery, his sin. So he humbled himself before God. Indeed, let us remember who we are. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, says Isaiah 53. All of us have turned to our own way. Without God's grace, we wouldn't even be able to come before God. In ourselves, we would be condemned. And knowing that, understanding that will give us that humble attitude, also displayed by Daniel. And indeed, the only reason we have access to God's throne is because of Christ, because of his sacrifice. Scripture says multiple times, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And hearing that, let us indeed humble ourselves before God. Now the Catechism mentions one last thing that belongs to a prayer that pleases God. Answer 117 says, we must rest on this firm foundation that although we do not deserve it, God will certainly hear our prayer for the sake of Christ our Lord as he has promised us in his word. So we've just talked about the need for humility. But even though we humble ourselves, that does not mean we have shaky confidence before God's throne. No, God is our Father through Jesus Christ. And God delights to hear from his children. And his throne is really a throne of grace for you who believe. A throne of grace. You can be confident before God in Christ Jesus. So you never need to doubt that God listens to your prayers. Pray in faith that he will hear you. And listen again to how Daniel prayed in Daniel 9. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous. That's his humility. But because of your great mercy. That's his confidence. And that's what gives us confidence also. And then Daniel says something amazing. He says, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Or we can translate it, pay attention and act. Isn't that amazing? Here's Daniel, a mere man. A weak, a sinful person. And he's calling on Almighty God and he says, listen and act. Who are we to call on God to act? And yet he does. It was God's own promise that gave him boldness to pray like this. And may you have boldness too. Pray boldly based on God's promises. And God heard Daniel's prayer offered in faith and confidence. Listen to what the angel Gabriel tells Daniel in verse 23. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you. Daniel was still praying. And God sent the angel Gabriel to answer his prayer. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that amazing? The Almighty God listens to our prayers. He hears them and he answers them. Beloved, pray to your God. Pray in faith. Brings us to our last point. But just as we must pay attention to how we are to pray to God, we must take care that we ask for the right things. Question and answer 118 says, what has God commanded us to ask of him? All the things we need for body and soul is included in the prayer which Christ our Lord himself taught us. And one thing we must keep in mind, yes, God is not Santa Claus. There's a difference between needs and wants. See, need is different from desire. And we often use that word need very casually. Oh, I need this. I need that. But meanwhile, what we really mean is I want this or I want that. So what do humans truly need? Well, it's right there in the Lord's Prayer. Those are the things that we really need. And the list of needs in the Lord's Prayer, it's a lot different to what people today think are true needs. So as Christians, we should be on guard against turning human desires into needs. What we need in life is shaped by God's Word. The Lord's Prayer is a good place to start. Now, as we look at the Lord's Prayer and the list of needs in that prayer, you can see that it includes some things that people today would never include on a list of needs. After all, consider this. As humans, we need God's name to be hallowed. We need God's kingdom to come. And we need God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Have you ever considered those to be true needs? Well, they are. They are our greatest needs, even. Those are our greatest needs. Now, when you look at the Lord's Prayer, you might be struck by the fact that it's a pretty short prayer. And one thing that shows you, your prayers do not have to be elaborate to be heard by God. Anyone can pray. The youngest child can pray. You don't need a degree in theology. No, God hears the simple prayers of his children that are offered in faith. And if you find yourself struggling in your prayer life, why don't you begin by simply saying the Lord's Prayer? Just pray it in faith. After all, these are the words Christ himself taught us. If you're struggling in prayer, start with the Lord's Prayer. Pray it in faith. You can always build from there. Having said that, even though this is a short prayer, doesn't mean there's little content. The petitions in this prayer are rich and they're well worth digging into. For example, asking God, your kingdom come, that's only three words. But this petition encompasses so much of life. When we pray, your kingdom come, we're asking for God to rule our hearts. We're asking God to destroy the works of Satan. We're asking God that Christ would come back soon, and more on top of it all. So that's a lot of content packed into three words. And that's why it's good that the Catechism explores each of these individual requests in more detail in the following Lord's Days. And when we pray to God, we're allowed to pray the Lord's Prayer itself. But when we study the content of each request further and understand what is being asked, then we can take those petitions and apply them to our unique situations that we find ourselves in. When we study each request of the Lord's Prayer separately and carefully, we will then begin to understand how to pray according to God's will in each and every situation of life. By doing that, we will learn to shape every single one of our prayers in a fashion that is pleasing to God. So, beloved, let me encourage you to study God's Word. Study what it says about prayer. And as you study it, may you be faithful in this. May your relationship with our God and our Savior grow all the more. Amen. Let us pray. Our great and almighty God in heaven, you are the God who created the universe. You are infinite, you are almighty, and you are holy. And who are we but weak creatures, limited creatures, and sinful creatures at that? And we thank you. Thank you that we can pray to you. Lord, may we never lose sight of the beautiful privilege we have. And we thank you that you hear our prayers. Father, work in each and every one of us by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might bear much fruit, and that we might be transformed into the image of Christ, and that we might be assured of our faith through the redeeming work of our Savior. Father, we pray that you will grant us truly humble hearts before you, but confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God, for this gift. May we grow in this gift every day. And be with those who might be struggling in their prayer lives, who have maybe even stopped praying altogether. Lord, will you work in them by your Holy Spirit too, that they might begin again, and that we might all grow in this regard. Father, grant what is needed, that we might offer prayers that are pleasing to you. We ask this not because we are worthy of it, but only for the sake of Christ our Lord. Amen.